Welcome to the Young Money Podcast with Ross Moran. This episode of the Young Money Podcast is brought to you by More Time Financial, a financial planning, money management, and financial education business helping young Australians to make smarter decisions with their money.
All right, so on today's episode, I have with me Talia Benefield. Talia, welcome and thank you for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
So just to give everyone a bit of context, how do you usually introduce yourself? What's your kind of 1 to 2 minute introduction at the moment?
Yeah, well, generally speaking, I'm a graphic designer and I work for myself. I'm based on the Gold Coast and I work with a lot of startups to small and medium-sized businesses on, you know, the graphic design for their companies and helping them build a bit of a brand for themselves.
And how long have you been doing that for?
I've been designing for about 7 years, but working for myself has been just about a year and a half now.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's been a long time designing. I've had a lot to do with marketing as well, but yeah, all up about 7 years of graphic designing. Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. And just to give you some more context, how old are you at the moment?
I'm 26.
Excellent.
At the moment. Yes. I turned 26 this year. So yeah, I guess I pretty much started designing as soon as I left high school in New South Wales. So I was 18 when I first went out and started studying and practicing graphic design.
So just on that, so you said you grew up in New South Wales. Whereabout did you grow up? What's your background?
So I grew up in a small town called Grafton, which is about 3 hours south of the Gold Coast. And Grafton's a very small country town, you know, there's no traffic lights in Grafton. It's really small, but you know, it's a big community. So saying that, there's a lot of people there and, you know, we're all very supportive of local business. Like, that's very important to a small town, is, you know, supporting your local farmers and your local businesses. Yeah, saying that, I actually lived on a farm outside of Grafton, so I wasn't even in Grafton itself. I was half an hour south of Grafton on a rose farm. So my family started a rose farm about 20 years ago. So my dad and my grandfather. So yeah, I grew up on a rose farm pretty much in the middle of nowhere.
Did you work on the rose farm? Was that part of the training?
Oh yeah. If I wanted money, I had to go work on the farm. So, there was a lot of times I spent out in the garden, out in the sun, and I shouldn't call it a garden. It's definitely a farm. And
yeah,
I used to go to like local markets and stuff with my dad and, you know, help him sell the flowers and, yeah, kind of like, I guess I've always been exposed to, you know, the small business side of things and self-employment at a really young age. And mum had a full-time job. She was employed by the government, still is. So I guess I got to see both worlds. I got to see what it was like for my dad to be self-employed and make his own rules opposed to having mum work full-time for the government. So she was, you know, on a lot stricter. Yeah. And I guess I got to see, you know, the pros and cons of both sides of things. But yeah, I've always been, you know, really proud of my dad and the fact that, you know, he's worked for himself his whole life and he probably will continue to. I can't imagine he could ever work for someone anymore because I guess he's experienced the freedom that comes with running and owning your own business. But
yeah,
you know, farm work is hard. Like, even if it is roses, there's a lot of like early mornings, like long weeks. You know, like he'll get up at 3 a.m. most days to, you know, go and prune or like spray the roses and stuff like that. So yeah, there's definitely the hard work side of it.
And what's your experience with roses? Are you pretty across all different types and know your way around?
Well, I used to be. I couldn't wait to get out of there when I finished school, to be honest.
Yeah.
Because I think when I left school, I felt like, because I worked so much with my dad when I was younger, all I wanted to do was to go and work in an office like mum did. Because mum, you know, she seemed to, you know, get dressed in the morning and put her makeup on and go into the office. And I was loving that type of lifestyle more than working on the farm. So as soon as school finished, I was out of there and I'm like, I need an office job, like straight away. But it's been a long time. I think it's been about maybe 6 or 7 years since, you know, I left home. So I don't really know much about the roses these days. He does a good job of them.
Yeah.
They look amazing. But I'm not not that good. I don't have a green thumb. I kill everything in my house, all my plants. So, yeah, I guess I didn't pick that up from him very well.
Yeah. And that, so you mentioned you left school. So you attended school, what, 1 to 12 in Grafton? Years 1?
Yeah. Yep,
and then,
yep.
And then left straight after school, or what happened there?
Yeah. I guess, like, growing up in Grafton, like, a lot of people that you went to school with had plans to leave and study and, you know, pretty much move out of Grafton because there's nothing there to do career-wise. It's just so small. So everyone pretty much had a plan to leave once we'd finished school. So my plan was to definitely go to uni. I was going to go straight from high school to uni and study a Bachelor of Graphic Design, or Digital Media, I think it's called now. But something happened. I wasn't sure if that was exactly what I wanted to do. So I was a bit reluctant to go straight to uni because it wasn't just going to uni, but it was leaving town, it was leaving home. So throwing that whole element into it, it kind of made me step back and really think about if that's what I wanted to do. And I decided that maybe working for a year was like a better choice for me at that time. Just kind of build up a bit of a, you know, like a bit of a cash flow there and like have some money to get myself set up on the Gold Coast before I jump straight into uni.
Yeah.
So I did that. I moved up and I got a job working as a marketing assistant for an insurance company, and I deferred my degree in design. So I worked in this marketing company insurance company for about 5 years. And because I'd always loved graphic design and, you know, I had self-taught myself Photoshop when I was younger and during high school, I told, you know, the company I was working for that I was really interested in design. And they said, all right, well, we'll put you through a diploma of graphic design at a local training college. And I said, awesome, you know, perfect. I get to keep my job and I get to learn design. So for 2 years, I went and studied graphic design after hours. So I'd work Monday to Friday, 9 till 5, and then 3 nights a week, I'd go straight to design school and study till about 10 at night. It was pretty full on. I didn't have much time at all. Actually, now I think about it, because all my weekends are spent doing assignments, and every afternoon after work, I was pretty much at the college studying. I didn't have much time at all, but it was just a really good way for me to keep making money and still learning design. And so, yeah, that went for ages.
That course that you did, that was instead of getting a degree in graphic design and media. So, and the company wanted to pay for that.
Yeah, exactly. So it was really just, I was really lucky, because I feel if they didn't offer me that, I probably would have left and finally took up, you know, the degree of digital media.
Yeah.
And looking back and speaking to people that have completed a degree in digital media, I don't feel like I really missed out just because I did a diploma.
Yeah.
Because, you know, graphic design really just comes down to, I think, talent and creativity, and it's not really something that can be taught. And I know, you know, I'm not putting down anyone that has studied a bachelor. I'm sure that's, you know, like you still learn so much, but there is a lot of theory involved at uni compared to going to a college where, you know, it's really hands-on from day one.
Definitely.
And, you know, I got so much out of it. So
I think you having that, as you said, instead of going straight into university, going into the workforce and having learning kind of hands-on exactly what needs to happen in the real world, probably in some ways a lot better way, rather than sitting in the classroom for 4 years, as you said, learning theory or reading a textbook.
Exactly. And, you know, like I was applying everything I was learning at the college to my day job. And I think that was the whole point, obviously, of them putting me through that course was
definitely
so they would, you know, benefit from me being there. So, yeah, having a combination of a job along with learning like whatever skill it is, you know, that supplements that, I think is the best combination, really.
And so you said straight out of school you knew you wanted to go and study to be a graphic designer. Where did that come from? Was that something you're always interested in during high school, or what?
Yeah,
first come across graphic design.
We were taught Photoshop in an art class, probably in like year 10 or something like that, and I was just so fascinated by the program and like how you could cut people out of pictures and put them like on a different background. And like, I know for assignments, we had to just like cut out models and, you know, Google images and whatever, and we had to put them in various backgrounds in like New York City and in the snow and on the beach and stuff like that. And
yeah.
I was just so, I don't know, I just really connected with that. I found that amazing. And I got my hands on like a legal copy of Photoshop, or I don't know how I got it. Yeah, I got it installed on my home computer, and I used to design invitations and stuff for my friends' birthday parties.
Yeah.
So yeah, like 16th birthdays and 17th birthdays, I'd I designed these hideous looking invitations, and it just kind of went from there. I never stopped designing. I just, you know, I was loving it. I was always on the computer, like always playing in Photoshop. And I think that's where it all started. And obviously, you know, with practice you get better. I used to buy magazines for Photoshop. You know, you could buy, because there wasn't YouTube or anything.
Yeah, sure.
You know, back then. So you kind of had to learn how to use software through magazines, because I was too young to go and learn it properly or anything like that. So it was all really just self-taught. And then, yeah, once I finished high school and went and started working, I opened up Photoshop at, you know, my new job, and I just started doing bits and pieces here and there. And I guess they did see my genuine interest in learning it, which is why they thought, okay, well, maybe learn it properly. Yeah. And learn how to use all the other programs, not just Photoshop. And yeah, and to this day I hardly use Photoshop anymore. I use all the good ones. So a lot of people think design is just Photoshop, but it's not. There's a lot of different programs that work together.
And how many times you tell that story, the fact that you picked up Photoshop when you're on your computer when you're in grade 10?
I haven't. I'm just going through some like packing at the moment. My partner and I are moving to Japan in about 5 weeks, and we're just cleaning out our house and stuff, and I came across some of these old invitations that I designed for my friends, and I must have kept them, or my mum must have kept them or something. And just looking at them, it really just, I know, it was nice to see that I have always had an interest in design, you know, from when I was 16. So yeah, it was,
I think that's,
yeah, it was cool to see that stuff. Yeah. And, you know, like I used to design stuff for my dad's business, like rose catalogs, and he has kept them since I started designing them. Yeah. And they're awful to look at. I feel so sorry for him that he had to use them because I was his daughter. they're not amazing. But it is good to kind of look back and know that, yeah, I guess it's always has been a part of me, and it has always been something that I've enjoyed doing.
I think that's a really, really interesting story.
Yeah.
So just going back to the work side of things, so you left Grafton, you moved to the Gold Coast, and what were you, 18, 19 when you moved?
Yep.
Moved to the Gold Coast.
Yep, 18. Yep, because I think, in New South Wales, when you graduate, you're 18, whereas in Queensland, you're younger, aren't you? Yeah.
That's right.
So, yeah, I applied for the job that I got pretty much as soon as I had my high school formal. Yeah. And got the job, and it all happened so fast. Like I thought it would take months or even maybe a whole year to get a job, but it just happened so quickly. So I was at my formal, and then it was like a week later I was settling into the Gold Coast. So yeah, that transition happened very quickly.
And then so how many years did you stay at that job?
So yeah, I stayed there for 5 years. Part of the deal was for me to stay with the company for 5 years once they put me through this diploma of design. I guess that was their way of kind of, you know, getting
the money back.
Getting money back. So I stayed there for 5 years. I fulfilled that contract. And I don't know, I think there was some part of me that always still wanted to go to university. And because I'd been working in marketing for 5 years, I really kind of started to take a fascination to the marketing side of things. And marketing and graphic design, they really go hand in hand. Sure. So I thought, okay, well, I've got my diploma in design. I think I want to go and study marketing. And marketing is something I felt like required, you know, a higher level of education. So I, obviously cancelled my deferred design degree, and I enrolled in a Bachelor of Business at Griffith University. And yeah, so I finished, no, I didn't finish working there. I started part-time Griffith Uni, and then I was still working full-time at this insurance company.
Yeah.
So yeah, the design diploma only went for 2 years, and I finished that, knocked that over. And then my last 3 years of full-time employment at this insurance company is when I started at Griffith, because I knew that I could balance study and work. It was something that I've already done.
Doing it for 2 years.
Yeah. So I'm like, why not? Like, I might as well just keep on studying and I'll keep on working full-time. But
so you're studying part-time, working full-time?
Yes. Yeah. So I never stopped working full-time. That was... So, for the majority of my degree, so I think about 2 years of my degree, I worked full-time, studied part-time. And with uni, obviously the demand outside of class is a lot higher than it is getting a diploma. So I struggled big time because most people at uni don't work full-time. Like
that's going to be my next question. How to fit in with everyone else at uni that went to class for 2 hours a day, then sat on the beach for the rest of the day.
And then still didn't have enough time to get stuff done.
Yeah.
I'm like,
yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I actually think that having so many commitments made me more organized and, you know, really taught me how to prioritize. And, you know, the company wasn't as flexible with me, you know, studying at university as they were me studying design, because I guess they knew that I was probably going to go off in another direction eventually. So they weren't as supportive in that sense. If I had exams on in the middle of the day, I'd still have to go to work in the morning, then I'd go do my exam and then I'd come back straight away and then I'd work late. You know, like it wasn't like, oh, I'll just have the day off and study in the morning and just chill out in the afternoon. So it was really, had to prioritize a lot. I didn't have weekends, and unfortunately it was around the time where, you know, all my friends were into going to festivals and, you know, stuff like that on the weekend. And financially I could have said yes because I was working full time, but there was no way I would have been able to try and get good grades at uni and, you know, maintain like a good academic standard if I hadn't spent all weekends and most nights studying. So yeah, that was probably the hardest thing, was balancing those two.
And do you think, like, obviously you're living away from home, whereas I know, especially on the Gold Coast here, there's a lot of people that go to university that still live at home. I know that's what I did. So it was kind of, it wasn't that added pressure, I guess. But I think for you're obviously living away from home, you would have been paying rent. Obviously then you need to support yourself.
Yeah.
You haven't got your parents there to support you, I guess.
No, exactly. And yeah, that was one thing that I didn't have help from mum and dad. Like they hadn't paid for my rent or, you know, my degree or anything like that. So it was like 100% self-funded, other than obviously I've got a mad hex bill at the moment, help debt. But so I obviously, when I very first moved up to the Gold Coast, I had them help me. But I was 23, I guess, 23 or 24 when I was at uni. So I had been out of home for a long time. I knew what my expenses were. You know, I knew what level I could live at, you know, with what type of money. And I couldn't give up that full-time job. I was so used to earning money that I couldn't imagine going to nothing, you know, or getting a casual job or a part-time job. So I kind of just did what I had to do in order to keep that full-time salary coming in while I was studying. So yeah,
good,
guess that's
good
how.
Life, good life lessons.
Yeah. But yeah, as I said, I didn't have much time to do anything fun or live a life. So I guess that was what I got, you know.
So definitely not the traditional, university of partying.
No.
Doing a little bit of study. So.
And I guess I realized that, so in my final year of my degree, I thought I really just want to enjoy this last year of uni because I've been, you know, I was going to class, I was leaving straight away. I wasn't socializing. Like I was purely there to, you know, get my degree and leave. So I think, I realized that I'd kind of wasted 2 years of making the most of uni because I was working full time. So I thought, all right, I really want to make the most of this last year. And I decided to, you know, leave my full-time job at this insurance company. And in order to do that, I still needed enough money to kind of get me through. And I had been designing for 5 years, 5 or 6 years now. And over time I had, you know, friends and family contact me and ask me to design stuff for their business or, you know, design invitations and stuff for them. So I was used to working with people outside of a company, you know, like essentially having clients.
Yeah.
So I thought, okay, like in the perfect world, I'd love to, you know, leave this job, study for a year, you know, be a full-time student type thing, but still freelance and kind of have a couple of jobs come in, you know, ideally a couple of jobs a week or a month just to get me by and cover these, you know, expenses like my rent and stuff like that. So about 6 months towards my goal date of ending my employment, I thought, okay, in order for this to work, I need to get my website up and I need to save enough money to at least get me through 6 months if I have no clients. Because to me, that was my worst case scenario, would be me going out.
So just to take a step back there, were just about to start your last year of uni, or was this already in that last year of uni?
No. So I was about to start my last year of uni. So I really wanted a full fresh year of being a full-time student. And I decided this like midway the year before. So, so I gave myself this 6 month like goal to get myself sorted, to get myself ready to do a full year of study and to, you know, launch my website and become, you know, a freelancer a bit more, a bit more professionally. And then also gave myself this 6 months to save because, I thought once I start studying full time, like I didn't want to go on any government benefits or anything like that. I really just wanted to try and either use my savings to support myself or pick up, you know, graphic design freelance work. So
and
I guess
you had you had paying clients before that? So you said you'd done it for friends and family.
Yes, a very few. So I did have a very few, mainly friends and family. And at that time, I did a lot. I was obviously doing a lot of research into how I was going to make this happen and how was I going to get clients that weren't friends and family. And I came across a website, I think you've heard of it, called Upwork. And Upwork was in its very early stages of growth. And Upwork, you know, for those who don't know, it's a platform for web designers, graphic designers, app developers, virtual assistants, and pretty much anything that can be done, you know, via a computer or remotely. So it's this, a platform for businesses to find people to help them one off with bits and pieces for their business. So I came across that and I just thought, oh, why not? Like, I'll just build a profile. Like, I don't have much to lose and I'll see what happens. So I set up my profile and I set it up at a really good time because Upwork was new and there weren't many Australian designers on this platform and there were a lot of Australian businesses looking for designers. At the time, it was very heavily a lot of the Indian cultures, I'm not sure what part of the world, but there was no Westerners on this platform. So there was a lot of struggle there for businesses to communicate
the culture,
you know, with
language.
So I think when I'm setting up this profile and I'm an Australian and, you know, English is my first language, a lot of people, you know, flocked to contacting me because it was easy for them to communicate. You know, my prices were reasonable and I was technically a local. So it was really good timing and I started to get a lot of contact and a lot of inquiries and it was just, it was kind of like magic because, you know, I'd put it out there that I really wanted to, you know, start freelancing and, you know, set up this profile and all of a sudden I had, you know, clients contacting me and people, you know, getting quotes and stuff off me. And that momentum just like built and built and built. And I was finally at that place where I could say, I'm going to be able to make enough money to support myself through university.
How long do you think that was? What was that kind of that time period?
6 months. It was the 6 months. Yeah. Like
that's amazing.
It just happened so quickly. And it's all because of timing. Like, I don't know if I was to start a profile on there now that I'd get the same results because it's quite saturated at the moment with designers from, you know, America and Europe and Australia. But it was, it was just the timing. And these clients that I met in those early days are still with me now.
That's all.
So it was really important for me just to do a really good job and keep that kind of relationship between me and, you know, the client. And I guess I've kind of kept them the same client since then. So like the 6 months, it just got really busy. As soon as I made that profile, I was flat out. So I was really comfortable to leave my job and obviously spend that year being a student. But as I said, that momentum kept building and I was still working full time. I was working for myself full time. I was like sitting in my lectures designing logos for people. And I guess, I never really ended up getting that full time student life, but it was fine because I was making money for myself and, you know, I was doing things on my own terms and, you know, I wasn't on student benefits or anything like that. So
I think that's such an interesting side of things, because everyone, or not everyone, but a lot of people go the different route where it's, I'll study for 4 years, kind of maybe work a coffee shop or work that part-time job, and then I'll find a job. Whereas you've gone complete opposite, saying, let me find work for myself so then I can enjoy uni, which obviously ended up didn't doing as much as you thought, but yeah.
No, yeah.
That's awesome.
I was definitely, different type of student, that's for sure. But
That business kind of mind, or that kind of thought, do you think that came from seeing your dad do that, or seeing him?
I think so. Yeah, definitely. And as I said, there is so much hard work involved in running, a farm. And I did see the really hard work side of it, but finding the balance between the benefits mum had as a full-time, government employee mixed with the freedom that dad had, I was trying to get this perfect combination of being able to do what I want, but still being, quite strict in how I work. Like, obviously, I don't want to wake up at 3 a.m. to do work. So, sure. I like the fact that mum, she still went on holidays and, she had money to spend on holiday and, she'd still work when, 9 o'clock or 8 o'clock in the morning and come home and pick us up from school. So, whereas dad, he worked a lot more hours, but when he needed the freedom, he also had that as well. He didn't take rules from anyone. Like, he set the rules. If he needed a day off, he'd have a day off. So it was trying to find a nice, I think I've always been trying to find that combination, like that balance between what mum and dad both did when we were growing up. So,
you finished the last year of university. You graduated with a Bachelor of Business. In marketing.
Yep. And I guess because this whole freelance thing, it happened so quickly with Upwork, I didn't set up my business properly. I started getting paid pretty much 2 weeks or so after setting up my profile. I did my first logo design for $50.
Yeah.
And I was getting paid straight into my bank account. I registered for an ABN and I was a sole trader, and that was as far as I got with setting up a business. So I would keep a log of all the jobs I did on an Excel spreadsheet, and I guess that was the way I ran the business. I got paid into my bank account.
That was your business.
Yeah. It was an Excel spreadsheet, and I was getting paid into my bank account. And so, because I did that for about a year while I was studying, I guess there wasn't much, I didn't build enough confidence there to keep doing it. I think because I wasn't set up properly, I had a lot of self-doubt.
Sure.
And once I'd graduated with my marketing degree, I thought, I can't design anymore. Like, I have a marketing degree. I need to go and study. I need to go and work in marketing.
Did you want it, or did you think you kind of had to?
I just think I had to. I honestly just think I had to, because I had this degree that I'd worked so hard for, and I was designing and I already knew how to design. So, that wasn't exciting anymore.
Yeah.
So I thought, I obviously have to go and get a job in marketing now. And so I applied for a job in marketing, and that was with Griffith University itself. And it was, another full-time job, another, amazing salary and amazing benefits and, probably a dream come true to most people.
Sure.
So I started full-time with Griffith University working in marketing, and it was probably only 3 months into working full-time again that I realized this world just really isn't for me. Like, I don't know. I just don't think I was meant to work for anybody else. I don't know. Maybe I will one day, so I shouldn't say that. And because I still had clients contacting me on the side, I never officially said I'm not doing design. I still kept that there. Like, there was no...
And still just through Upwork, that was your main source of...
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it was. It was. And then, it never stopped. So I always had clients. So even though I was still at Griffith working full time, I was still going home and working on, client projects. But at this point, I'd obviously increased my prices. Sure. I got better at designing and my whole design skills, they were so much better than they were when I first started. And I don't think I was giving my clients the attention that they deserved. And I didn't feel happy because, one, I wasn't putting my full heart into designing, and I wasn't putting my full heart into working at Griffith either, because I think part of me still wanted just to work on my own.
Yeah.
So when I realized that, I thought, okay, well, you know, I really need to be set up properly if I'm going to make this work, and I really want to give it another go. So that was probably about the 4-5 month mark of working at Griffith that I decided this.
Okay.
So once again, I put another timeline on myself and I thought, all right, just do the end of the year, you know, learn as much as you can, network, meet people, you know, just make the most of this year that you're working with Griffith, and at the same time, start getting yourself prepared to go and do this properly. And what I say, like what I mean by saying that is I obviously changed my structure from a sole tradership into a business. Is it? Yeah. PTY.
Company.
LTD. What are you? Our company. Yeah.
Company. Yeah.
So, yeah. So I started doing that and I thought, okay, because I thought once I left, I really wanted to just do everything like really professionally from the get-go. I don't want to be trying to like get all these things organized, you know, once I've left. So I was getting all these done on the side pretty much, like getting myself really set up. And then the next thing was accounting. Like obviously I couldn't keep using Excel to do all my finances. So I looked into different accounting software. I found that QuickBooks and Xero were going to be really good for me. But at that time I hadn't signed up to anything yet because I don't remember how much it was, but at that time I wasn't ready to commit.
Sure.
But I knew that it was definitely going to be the next step once I started getting the ball rolling. And then it was setting up an Instagram account for my business. Yep. Then it was redesigning my website. I had a really crappy Wix website at the time, just for the sake of it. So I thought, okay, I need a really good website this time and I need to do it properly.
And going through all this, the website, setting up the business structure, the accounting, the bookkeeping, was this all, was someone helping you, or was this all self-taught? This is just things that you knew needed to happen?
Yeah, most of it was self-taught. Obviously, like the social media side of things, the website side of things, the accountant side, not so much, because being a creative, money generally isn't your friend. Like numbers is just, I'm not a numbers person, and I know that. I had been using an accountant on the Gold Coast for a while, but I wasn't connecting with them. I felt like they weren't really understanding me and, you know, what I needed to do. So I did, you know, asked around a lot, kind of got a lot of referrals to different accountants around the coast, and, you know, did my research, and I found an accountant in Broadbeach. Can I say who they are? Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. So that's New Wave. And I met the owner of New Wave, and he sat down with me and kind of, he showed me how to set up my business in terms of setting up a family trust and, you know, how I pay GST and how I,
BAS.
See, I told you this one in accountant. I don't even know what they're all called.
Yeah.
So really started to get, you know, the financial side of things in shape. And that was definitely one thing I needed help with. And I still need help, you know.
And do you think that kind of gave you more confidence that you had it set up properly, or was it just like, what was that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think even the way I was sending out my invoices, like, you know, it was a lot more professional than me doing, because, you know, before I was doing like a Word document type setup, whereas, how to set out my invoices, you know, with, you know, all the details on there. And, and of course I had to open a bank account. So I obviously had to stop paying myself straight into my checking account. So opened up a full new business account, a business savings account. And I was taught a lot around how much money I need to put away for GST and, you know, all that, how to pay myself. That was something I hadn't gotten used to, because I'd always just given myself everything that I earned. So whatever money was coming in, I'm like, cool, that's all mine. And then not thinking, I'm going to put away tax expenses on this money.
So
opening that business bank account was probably the best thing. And then being told to pay myself a lump sum, either, you know, fortnightly or monthly or whatever, and being consistent. So that was probably one of the most handy tips I had, because then anything that was left over in the business bank account would be, you know, for my tax or whatever, and, you know, my expenses. So definitely getting help from an accountant, knowing that I'm not good at numbers, was the best thing I did to help me get set up and be more professional. And I found once I started doing stuff like that, I started being more professional in other areas of my business, I started paying for a lot more like premium fonts. Like that's something that a lot of designers will, you know, they'll do for their clients is you get the standard fonts that are installed on your, you know, your laptop or your computer. But in order to make designs look different and, you know, really stand out, you can buy premium fonts. They can cost anywhere between $50 to $500. So, you know, every time I got a new client on, like I'd start, you know, buying fonts, like new fonts for them. So they'd have this really premium look and feel. I started paying for like a time tracking software. So I could really accurately calculate how long I was spending on client projects.
Yeah.
You know, I was always updating my design software to the very newest version. Like I was making sure I was always, you know, at the very top of the professional standard when it comes to the software.
And just for any designers that are listening, what software do you use at the moment?
Yeah. So it's called Adobe Creative Cloud. And in the Creative Cloud, there's, I think there's about 40 different software applications.
So full Adobe.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
But I only use InDesign, which is for layouts, Illustrator, which is for like designing logos and infographics. Photoshop is for manipulating photos and like kind of superimposing mock-ups and stuff like that. And I use Lightroom, which is a photography application for editing photos. So yeah, they're my four main go-to applications. But yeah, there's so many, you know, there's applications for web designers and videographers and stuff like that. But yeah, Creative Cloud is like $70 a month or something like that. So
worth every dollar.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't be able to do it without it. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. I think once I kind of got in my head that I needed to be professional and I needed to look professional, that I just needed to start investing more in tools that were going to support me, you know, look like achieving that professional look. So,
and what
where my do you expenses think that, went through the roof.
I'm sure it did. But it's obviously investment back in yourself and back in the business, if you look
at yeah.
that sense. What what was that kind of moment, or when was that time frame where you said, right, I'm actually a business owner, or this is actually a business, that this is what I'm going to do? Like when was that kind of that moment that you thought to yourself, this is it?
I think it's when I opened my business bank account.
Okay.
Because like I was doing the same type of work, but I don't know, there was just something so organized about like having a business account and then that account paying me. And I kind of, you know, when I set my business up and was kind of explained how it all worked, and, you know, my account said, your business is separate to who you are. So your business is going to pay you. So I kind of started thinking, okay, well, I'm an employee of my own business. So that's kind of how I started thinking about it. And yeah, I think that was the kind of, that was the moment, was when I was starting to get paid into this business account. So I wasn't getting paid. The business was getting paid. And then I was paying myself and distributing, like, you know, like a fortnightly salary to myself. And I think, well, yeah, this is, I'm a business owner now, because there's like this consistency and there's this structure involved. Whereas before it was just free for all, like whatever money come into my bank account, that was my cream. Like, so yeah, I think, yeah, that was definitely the biggest thing. And, you know, telling all my clients that I had a new, you know, new account details, because I had a business bank account. Like, I think it was all
a bit more professional. Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. Heaps more professional. So now,
what's that? What was the date that you finished your employment? So your full-time employment?
It was early January this year. So it's almost been a full 12 months.
Awesome.
Of 100% like self-employment. I'm not studying anything. Yeah. I'm fully wholeheartedly into this one thing now. You know,
I suppose that's probably been the first time, judging by what we've just talked about, the first time you've been 100% committed in one area.
Yes.
Whereas rather than you're working part-time, mm-hmm. uni part-time, so mm-hmm. now you're 100% in it.
Exactly. Yeah, definitely. And like it wasn't an easy decision, because I thought, oh, well, I've already done this and, you know, it didn't work. Well, it's not that it didn't work the first time I was freelancing. It was just I wasn't set up properly.
Yeah.
And so I lacked that confidence as in myself as a business owner in, you know, in selling my services, because I was just lacking so much professionalism and structure that I just, I was doubting myself. And I'm like, oh, this is, too good to be true. Like, I surely have to go and get a job, you know, like that's just how it's got to be. Like, I need superannuation. Like,
yeah.
I need benefits. I need some, like, oh, and Griffith, like, they paid 18% super. Like, the benefits were out of this world. Like, it was quite ideal, like, as a graduate to go and work in marketing in a company like that. So
I suppose that would have been, as you said, so scary, but such interesting thing moving from that secure job, secure mm-hmm. full-time employment, as you said, with such great benefits, I'm saying, mm-hmm. I'm gonna kind of throw that all away and start my own thing.
Yeah, it was, and it still is, like,
yeah,
all the time. Like, it's always like, it's just up and down. Like, I think running your own business, like, some days I feel like I'm killing it, and then, like, one day I won't have an email until 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm like, oh my god, I'm gonna have to go back to working for somebody.
Yeah.
And then by the time I wake up the next day, I've got like 50 emails in there, like, from my clients in the US. So it's there's always moments of self-doubt, you know, am I gonna make enough money, or, you know, am I on the right path, am I doing the right thing? And then, you know, it's dealing with the competitors as well. There's so much out there, like, there's so many designers and stuff. So
just
there's always
on that, where do you get most of your business from? Where does it come from at the moment?
I was actually thinking about this the other day. I honestly think it is a combination of my social media presence and referral. Because as I said, I started on Upwork a very long time ago now. I think it would be maybe 4 or 5 years ago or something around that mark. So all those clients that I got over that time have either, like, I'm still working with them today, or they have referred me to friends and family and of their own. So I've built this probably 50% referral base, and then, like, the other 50% would be from, yeah, social media and just Instagram, really. I don't have a Facebook account. So, yeah, I think from Instagram.
Instagram's been a big part of it.
It has, and I never thought it would. I felt like I forced myself to open an Instagram account because that's what I had to do. Like, that's what businesses have to do today. You know, they've got to be on Instagram, they've got to be on Facebook. So, I forced myself.
Interesting one. You did a marketing degree. How much of that mm-hmm. do you think has translated into your business and the marketing of your business now?
Honestly, not a great deal, because I feel that, like, kind of looking back on my degree, the university really taught you how to work for someone else and not work for yourself. Like, obviously I studied accounting and economics at uni, but I still couldn't set up my own tax type, you know, a structure for my own finances. And why was I not taught that? Like, I get a bit funny about stuff like that, because I feel like if I studied a business degree, then I should know everything about running a business and how to, you know, run my social media and how to do all my taxes and, you know, be HR and, you know, be a salesman and, like, learn all these things. But yeah, nothing really directly from marketing has helped my business majorly. I think, like, little bits and pieces, like, just the general, you know, just the general happenings of, you know, make sure you're on social media, make sure you're professional,
The social media side I find quite interesting. Did you learn about that in your degree at uni? Did they talk about social media much?
They just touched on it, actually. Like, there was only one, like, course on social media. And, yeah, looking back on it, it's already out of date.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, nothing that I learned from social media at uni is relevant today, because so much has changed.
Well, that's why I asked, because I was kind of in the similar boats, because I did the financial planning degree and did a marketing degree as well. And I graduated in 2012, I think it was, 2012, 2013. And it felt like everything, it's stepped in 2013, 2014, and everything I'd learned from marketing was just kind of almost thrown in the bin, because now the social media came out and just kind of revolutionized everything. And up until that stage, obviously Instagram and Facebook had been around, but no one was really using it in the way they are now. So it was really interesting. It was just like, all right, forget everything you learned. And
exactly.
It's something completely different.
Definitely. It's got to be a self-taught thing.
Yeah.
I think, like, yeah, you can pick up tips and tricks on YouTube and learn more than you probably would studying a whole course at uni. So yeah, I don't know. I think, you know, yeah, in a general sense, I'm sure I know, you know, I'm probably subconsciously knowing a lot about marketing and not really thinking about it.
Sure. Like,
you know, I studied it for 3 years. I'm sure it's, yeah, I find when I'm having conversations with my clients that haven't, you know, studied marketing or know anything about it, then yeah, I can definitely help and point them in the right direction. Yeah, I don't know. You need a weird one because, yeah, I'm just not sure. I'm not sure if it's worth the $30,000 that I owe now or whatever it is.
Yeah, well, I'm sure a lot of people are in the same boat, whether they get to the end of it. Obviously, if it's if you need the degree for your profession or your type of career, then you've got no choice. But
yeah.
I think being in your case where you don't really need a degree to be a small business owner or a graphic designer full time. It's a hard pill to swallow when you see that hex debt.
Yeah, I know. And I think a lot of people feel like they need it in order to justify themselves.
Yeah.
Like I wouldn't feel right going out and offering my design services if I hadn't gotten that diploma, even though I already knew how to design. Like I knew what I was doing. Well, I'm obviously a lot better now, but back then I was still definitely capable of designing things, but I would never ever dream of like charging someone for my service because I didn't have, you know, the accreditation tagged to my name. So I think, yeah, a lot of people that go to uni, you know, for marketing degrees and business degrees in particular do it just so they can, you know, justify why they should be working in that industry. Or
gives them a bit of confidence.
Yeah, but, you know, you hear so many stories about business owners that didn't even go to uni or dropped out of school and, you know, like Richard Branson is like my idol. Like he didn't even, you know, he dropped out of school and look at him. Like it's, yeah, I think you need confidence more than like skill sometimes. Like,
definitely.
Well, not skill, like a accreditation or a diploma or a degree, like just confidence to get out there and do something.
I feel like it's slowly changing, but it's still ingrained where it's all right. Mm-hmm. You go to work, go to school from years 1 to 12 and then you get good grades, get a good an OP or whatever the system is, and then go to university, get a good job there. So you've got your degree and now you're going to work. And I think it's slowly changing.
Yeah.
That's still quite
the routine great. Life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. And yeah, saying that, like I can make my own hours, yet I still sit at my desk at, you know, 7, 8 o'clock in the morning. I have lunch. I come back and I'm like, I don't have to do this. I could go to the beach for lunch, but I don't know. I just, as you said, it's we're creatures of habit. And I find myself sitting at the desk on YouTube, like procrastinating, you know, I'll be on Facebook or whatever. And I'm like, I don't even have to be on Facebook right now. I could actually just go for a run or go for a walk. Yeah. But there's something about me sitting down at my desk that is just so like such a habit and it's really hard to break out of.
So
definitely.
Just talking about your business, what's kind of the biggest achievement that you've had so far in business, working with a big client or just some sort of achievement that you've reached?
At the moment, I'm just really, I guess, proud of myself for having this last 12 months being like full-time self-employed because as I said, always been doing two things at once and to have a full year of making this work has been amazing. Like I wasn't expecting it to be as good as it has been for me in terms of, you know, clients and cash flow and stuff like that, because I've always been told that, you know, the first year of business is hard, you know, you'll probably operate at a loss, la la la. And I was kind of setting myself up to be disappointed after my first 12 months, but it hasn't been like, it's been great. Like it's been so steady. The work's been amazing. Like I've picked up so many clients. And I realized that when I was writing my Christmas cards this year, because last year I only sent out about 10 and like this year I've sent out like 60. So I'm like, awesome. Wow, like I have more clients now. And yeah, at the end of last year I worked for Snapchat and that was really random and fun. It was, a contract to design geo filters, you know, those ones where you're in a certain location and you can swipe across and you get whatever filters set to that geographical area. So they contacted me. I don't know how they found me.
Was it an email or a phone call or what? How did that work?
It was an email and I think they had found me through Upwork because they're a US based company. So I guess, I still have a profile on Upwork. I actually don't really use it anymore, but it's still a presence there that costs me nothing. So why not just keep it there? So yeah, I think they must have found me on Upwork and got an email and they were specifically looking for an Australian graphic designer because all the filters that I had to design were for Australian events and holidays.
Okay.
So they were for like Christmas Day, New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, Mother's Day, Melbourne Cup, Anzac Day. So they wanted them to be Australian themed and obviously they're a US-based company and the designers there probably didn't really have a grasp on what it should look like for an Australian. So, like, they probably don't understand Anzac Day,
sure,
for instance. So, yeah, I had about, I think it was about 50 Snapchat filters to design. And so, yeah, it was, yeah.
Talk me through that year. How long ago was that?
This was in December. So, a year. It would have been about a year. Yeah, last year.
So, yep. you just started the business, like started full time?
No.
Business, or you're still working?
I was still working. Yeah.
An email from Snapchat saying, can you design 50 geofilters, please?
Yeah. And I was just acting like I had all this time in the world. They're like, oh, yeah, do you have capacity? And I'm like, yeah, sure.
You don't turn down, say no thanks. I'm a bit busy.
No, I was going to make this happen. So, yeah, it was back to my old habits of working after I finished work. Sorry, designing after I finished work, designing in my lunch break, designing when I woke up, because I had to pump out 50 filters in about, I think it was like they gave me 3 weeks or something to do it. Because, yeah, it was just before Christmas that they were all due. And there was a lot of events that I actually didn't even know as an Australian, like, because, you know, I had to do some events for like the Western Australian show, or I don't know what they were called. So there was even a lot there that I didn't even know myself. So I had to do research. I'm like, okay, what's all this about? Like, I didn't even know we had this event in Australia. So I had to like kind of educate myself at the same time. So I made sure that the filters were relevant. So yeah, it took a lot of time and it was a really big contract. It was a big project, but you know, I got it done and it was really cool. Like this whole year I got to see them kind of roll out over all the Australian events that have happened this year. I think the last one was Melbourne Cup.
Okay.
Obviously, I didn't get to use that because it was only for people that were in Melbourne that got to use that filter. Yeah. But, you know, all the big events was cool. Yeah. Mother's Day, Father's Day, Halloween.
As a client, or having them on in your portfolio, that obviously gives you a bit of confidence.
Yeah, definitely. No, it was definitely one of the biggest clients I've ever got to work with, and they were really crazy as well. Like, I thought, you know, it'd be really hard to get these filters approved, but you know, I sent them through in like batches of 10 or 20 and they're like, yep, awesome, cool, happy. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. I thought this was gonna be like, you know, he's gonna ask for a lot of changes or something, but no, they were super good to work with, and right, I'm really glad that I did say yes to that. So yeah, definitely a highlight.
Have you got any businesses or any clients in mind that you would kill to work for or do design for?
No, not specific businesses, but like industries in general. Like, I've really been attracted to working with people in like the health and wellness industry. Okay. I just find that when I get to sit down with these people and, you know, hear about their business and hear where they want to take things, it always comes from a place of like they're very genuine. You know, like they're starting their business because of very like personal reasons, and like their journey is quite, yeah, it's really lovely to listen to their journey. And I know that they're not people out there just trying to get into business to make money. So there's like this whole different aspect of people in this industry, like, yeah, their passion and their commitment to it. It's really inspiring. So yeah, I love working, you know, with wellness coaches, you know, yoga retreat runners and studios on the coast and stuff like that, personal trainers, stuff like that. Yeah, I just really connect with these people. They always have really good stories and they're always really good to work with and they're very clear on their visions. But yeah, no business in particular.
Just certain,
probably certain. Virgin. I'm obsessed Virgin. With Virgin. They're like, I just love Richard Branson from as long as I can remember, and I don't know why, I'm just fascinated by him.
Oh, he's a pretty interesting character. It's hard not to
I can't imagine Virgin or freelance. I will take out a freelancer, but hey, you got
an email from Snapchat, I'm sure that.
Yeah. True. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens.
So future plans for the business? Are you thinking of remaining as yourself, or are you thinking of expanding, getting staff in? What's your thoughts?
Yeah. It's actually been something I've been toying with a lot this year because I have had a lot of inquiries for work, and I can't always say yes because I'm generally booked out. So it always comes into my head that, okay, I'm going to need to hire someone so I can say yes to these people.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm really enjoying this work-life balance that I've achieved. You know, the fact that I can work when I want and have a day off here and there and go out and have coffee with my friends in the morning and stuff like that. And I know that I will be sacrificing this balance that I've achieved if I, you know, start to take on employees and kind of expand the business. But at the same time, like, I know I do have a lot of drive and, you know, motivation to grow something and, you know, become, make the business into something a little bit more. So I think, yeah, I think definitely in the near future, there will be growth in some way. I'm just not sure if it will be me getting on more, you know, getting on staff, or if I will go and offer different products and services of my own, you know, maybe consulting, maybe teaching people some design things. So yeah, I'm not too sure, but it'll be something, because I think it's just in my personality to keep trying and keep doing more. So yeah, my partner Sam, I'm always like running up these ideas past him, and he's like, aren't you just happy with how you've done things now? And I'm like, yeah, but
I can do this, this. Yeah,
I know. So in all honesty, like, I'm really proud of where I am, but I'll never be happy. Like, I'll never be settled, because I always just kind of want to know what's next, and
which is a blessing,
I want something else to work towards.
I bet.
I know. Sometimes I feel so ungrateful when I realize, yeah, I'm always looking forward and not being present, and not being just happy with what I've done.
Yeah.
No, you know, what I've achieved to date. But yeah, I'm definitely always looking forward. So I guess that's not going to change anytime soon.
So on a personal note, you mentioned earlier on that you're moving to Japan, traveling to Japan.
Yeah.
A bit about that. It sounds exciting.
We've been to Japan before. Me and my partner, we went 2 years ago. We just took up snowboarding a couple of years ago and just really loved it. And I love the cold and I love the snow. And when we were in Japan, we thought, like, how amazing would it be just to spend an entire season in the snow? Because, as you know, like, snow trips are always really expensive, and you can only really go for a short amount of time because of that reason. And when you're in the snow for like a week or 2 weeks, it's hard to get good snow days because you're only there for a couple of nights or whatever. So I think we just got to a point in our relationship where everything's going really well. Like, you know, I can work from home, you know, we've got good savings, you know, we don't have plans to have kids or anything straight away. So we thought, you know, why not? Let's just do something completely out of our comfort zone and go and spend 6 months in Japan and go snowboarding. Cause yeah, we love snowboarding. Can't do it in Australia, really.
Sure. Like, yeah.
Well, I guess you can, but it's not really a cultural experience go down south. So, so we just kind of made that decision about 6 months ago. Yeah. And just kind of been working on making that happen. You know, booked flights, found accommodation, got our insurances sorted. We've got a mortgage at the moment. We've got an apartment, a townhouse, sorry, in Burleigh. So we're just going to get my brother and a friend of his to move in and kind of pay us rent. So that way we don't have to move our stuff out, which will save us in storage costs. So yeah, I guess everything kind of just fell into place. Fingers crossed. We've got 5 weeks. Everything still needs to hold in its place.
Yeah.
Awesome. So yeah, I guess we're just at an age where, yeah, we don't really have any big plans to start families or anything right now. So it was just, yeah, it was just a timing thing of always wanting to travel, loving the snow, and me being in a really good position to make this happen financially.
You can do that with your work, being self-employed and being online. You can work anywhere in the world, I'd assume.
Exactly.
Connection.
Yeah, exactly. Like, half, I haven't even had like phone calls to most of my clients, because people just prefer to communicate via email. So I'm not going to call someone if I can tell that they just want to talk to me through an email. So honestly, half my clients probably won't even know that I'm on the other side of the world half the time.
Yeah.
I will tell them. I will definitely tell them that I'm over there.
Well, I see your photos in the snow.
Yeah.
Eating sushi.
Yes, exactly. So no, I'll let them know, but it won't change because, yeah, it's an hour time difference. So, you know, deadlines will be met just as usual, and as long as I have internet, I will be fine.
Excellent. Well, we might have to do a follow-up interview when you get back or when you're over there, and let me know how it's going.
Yeah, definitely. I might pick up some Japanese clients and see what happens.
So where can people go to find more information about either yourself or your business?
Yeah, probably my website or my Instagram. I think I spend most of my time promoting myself through Instagram at the moment. My website feels like it's always out of date. I don't know about you, but it's always, you're always feeling like something's out of date and something needs more attention. And
well, I think when you're, really when you're a designer, you probably could take it more than anyone else would.
I know. And yeah, I get on my own portfolio on my website and I'm like, oh no, this is stuff that I've done like 10 months ago. And yeah, I just haven't really found the time, but that's me not prioritizing properly, I guess. But yeah. So my website, TaliaBenefield.com.
TaliaBenefield.com.au.
Yeah. TaliaBenefield.com. No.au. And yeah, TaliaBenefield Creative on Instagram. Yeah. Definitely shoot me an email or follow me on Insta, but yeah.
All right.
I'll try and keep things updated.
Well, looking forward to seeing travel photos.
Yeah, there'll be lots of them.
Well, thanks very much for being on the show. Really interesting chat, and hope it goes well for you in Japan, and looking forward to seeing what you're up to.
Awesome. Thanks so much for having me.
No problem. I'll speak to you soon.
Cool. Thanks, Ross.
Thanks so much for listening to the episode. If you've enjoyed this episode, please like, share, pass it on, and subscribe to our channel to stay up to date with all of our episodes. Be sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram and stay tuned for the next episode.
If you've enjoyed this episode of the Young Money Podcast, make sure you subscribe to keep up to date with all the latest episodes. And feel free to leave a like, comment, and share it with a friend.